Welcome to WTF, What the Fuck, a show where doom and gloom is in the waiting room.
I'm here with Johnny Punish, a global citizen activist, visionary, musician, artist, entertainer, businessman, investor, life coach, and syndicated columnist. How's it going, Johnny?
Hey, all right, I'm out here in the jungles of Mexico looking for trouble. What's going on?
Not much. So I hear you have a new album out. The Political Stories of Johnny Punish, The Story of Strange, Volume 1, Johnny Punish. How's that going?
Well, it's going pretty good. The reason we did it is I got a lot of political songs, and I wanted to put them all together on one album, about 20 songs or so. So I did it on a Volume 1 Best of Johnny Punish, so to speak. And I just wanted to share that with people and to talk about the issues of politics, but do it in a way of music so I can get the message across about what the issues are and what's going on.
It sounds great. Sounds great, man. And you're always bringing the good lyrics. Although I do hear on one of your songs, there is a certain lyric called Under the Fence. I don't know who you would credit for that lyric, but what song was that on again?
The song is called Contradictions, and I was writing the song, and it's a really great song. It's got a lot of great, hopefully you'll play it today, but it's got a lot of great lyrics about the contradictions of what's good and bad, right and wrong, what's going on between people and, murder and not murder and things like that. But when it came down to that chorus part, there was a certain guy named Charles Fox I called for a little advice, and he gave me that under the fence line. So, I have to give you the credit. WTF, what the fox, man.
You needed the what the fox spice. You needed to spice it up a little.
It's the bump.
So I got a question for you. What originally inspired you to get into political music? I want our listeners to hear your story. Like, what got you into making this kind of music, punk rock and just anything political type of music, with the great lyrics?
That's a hell of a question. Well, let's go back to a long time ago. My mother would happen to be born in Palestine, Haifa, Palestine. She's Palestinian. And just by the nature of being Palestinian, you're born political. You have no choice. She was a refugee in refugee camps. 1948, she was kicked out of her home. And spent 12 years in refugee camps. And just by that nature, growing up with a Palestinian who, when you come to America, you can't even admit you're a Palestinian. You have to claim that you're Lebanese because it's got such a bad name in the United States because of the Zionist influence in the United States. So you have to pretend. And you go through all these terrible emotions about I'm worthless. And then you wake up one day when you're like 13, 14, 15 years old, and you say to yourself, fuck that. Fuck this. I'm a human being. I'm a person with dignity. What the hell is wrong with this picture? And so it starts the process. And as I got a little older, about 15, 16, 17, there was a band called The Clash that came out. And they were speaking to the political issues in the 1970s. That would be 76, 77, 78, that time frame, when in England, things were really bad. They had double-digit inflation, Margaret Thatcher. Things were going bad. There was riots in the streets. Kind of like what's about to happen in the United States. And it just kind of it was a marriage of, hey, I identify with The Clash. I'm disenfranchised too. And that's kind of how it all started. And I grabbed onto The Clash and other political music after that. And it just helped me develop my own voice. And so what you hear through my political music is my own voice based on the influences of others. Some people look at Bob Dylan or John Lennon. My generation was Joe Strummer and The Clash.
Oh, it's rough out there, right? I mean, speaking about Palestinian, it's basically we're all Palestinian now, right? I mean, Latins are they got to be worried now too. Anybody from the Middle East with this new presidency, it's getting rough out there.
It's insane, Charles. It's insane, Mr. Fox, because xenophobia is not helpful. It's appalling. In fact, I just wrote a song called "Decency's Calling." And I call it xenophobia is appalling. It's empathy crawling. And we need to do better than that. So it's just not happening. So, we're all Muslim. We're all Mexican. We're all Palestinian. We're all human beings. And this idea that we're different than somebody else and some white guy with a Confederate flag who's got a freaking personal problem, okay, it's bullshit. It's total bullshit. We're all Americans. We're all human beings. We're all members of the human race. And everybody's trying their best. And to say otherwise is complete and utter bullshit.
I mean, for lack of a better word, they're trying to shove us back in the closet and make us ashamed of who we really are again. And the funny thing is, I mean, the funny thing is, America was born on immigration. It's
that's
ridiculous.
The thing, you know, Trump didn't invent racism. He just exacerbated it by lighting the fuse underneath it. I am not even sure the guy's a racist. I think he's just an opportunist, and which is even worse because what he did was unconscionable. It was absolutely unconscionable. To get on top, he sacrificed the whole society just for his own personal power. And as far as I'm concerned, that's the highest level of irresponsibility there is on this planet. So, you know, everybody's talking about give Trump a chance. You know, maybe the man is a decent person somewhere in there. I don't know. Doesn't seem to be. Seems like he's just a predator. But let's say he is. But what he did was wrong, was straight up wrong. And that's going to light a fuse under every person like me who, when I was 13, you know, 14, 15, I felt disenfranchised. Now we're going to have a whole generation of young kids out there disenfranchised. So I predict that the music culture in the United States changes now. In the next 2 or 3 years, you're going to see all the music change from Miley Cyrus bumping and Beyonce nonsense to something that's very, very poignant and very, very pointed, very, very uplifting and very, very strategically saying, fuck you, dude. That's what's going to say.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but we need it now more than ever. I mean, we need the voices to speak up. If one thing I've noticed is at least Trump's willing to bow to certain pressures. He's been backing off a lot of his campaign promises, and so that's where we need to actually keep the fire under him to start steering him in the right direction. We need all the people to get together and start steering him into a different direction because really, he lost the popular vote, so I guess the majority of America isn't actually with him if you go vote for vote. And then on top of it, you got to add people that may not even be 18 or older at the moment, who he is kind of an older guy. So a lot of young people typically don't want to agree that much with a 70-year-old man. I mean, just because they had to choose between Hillary and Trump doesn't mean they wouldn't have liked some other type of person to be the president. And well,
that's true. The young people are going to vote differently in the next 4 years. And more importantly, the demographics are unstoppable. No matter what happens right now, from right to this point to the future, the demographics are changing. So either Trump finds political religion right away or that movement's going to die in 4 years. So there's just no doubt about it. But in the meantime, we're stuck with this, a person who is the president of the United States who did not win the popular vote by probably – when California is fully counted, it's estimated to be about 1.7 million people. So, and that's going to grow. So the Democrats or the progressives or these other people are going to capitalize on that in the next 4 years. But here we are stuck with this. Is Trump a racist or is he not? Is he going to go ahead, build his wall, deport 15 million people or not? Is he who he said he was going to be or he's not? Looks like, is he going to get rid of Obamacare or is he not? I mean, everything he said on the campaign trail is looking like utter bullshit, total bullshit. And it's complete Cicero. It's complete promise everything, get in, and just apologize and say, you know, I couldn't do it, the hell with it. And it's insane. This whole thing's freaking insane.
Yeah, and it's not a strategy that hasn't been used before. It's just that he really took the roof off the house when he just promised everything. I mean, he took the meaning seriously when he promised
fix its problem and do it in a humane way. You cannot deport 15 million people. Period. You fucked up. So fix it. Give these people work permits, okay? Give them a 2 or 3 year work permit, 5 year work permit. Give them a path to citizenship. If they want to stay, great. Give them the rules and learn English, do all this stuff, learn civics or whatever, and if they don't want to stay, then they go home, like the Bracero program did from 1941 to 1964. I mean, come on, people.
It'll be easy. They'll go home on their own because what'll happen is if you make them all legal and you have to actually pay them a legal wage, what'll happen is you'll hire the person that's the best for that job. Now, if someone who doesn't speak your language and hasn't assimilated to your culture yet is able to beat you out of a job, well, man, you're not very competitive. You need to get better at your job because now there isn't that wall of, well, they're accepting lesser wages. Well, it's a level playing field because they're legal or they have a work permit, so you have to pay them legally at least the minimum wage. What what employers will do is they'll seek to hire people that they relate to more and people that speak their language, because America, the language is English. It's not Spanish. So you'll have an advantage right there. And they'll start leaving. At least some of them will actually just leave on their own, because if it's too competitive, they can't get a job. They'll leave because it's no longer the land of opportunity that they once thought it was. That's what anyone anywhere will leave anywhere that there aren't enough jobs or
Fox,
that you can't get
let
hired.
Let me interject, Fox. Let me interject on that one, because I think you're on the right path, but you got to add the second component to it, which is instead of spending $50 billion on a wall, take some of that money, meet with Mexico and say, hey, Mexico, let's work together. Let's build some more institutions within Mexico to raise your minimum wage up to a level that is acceptable to your society so people don't have to leave. And that's the key.
Of course.
It's not about xenophobia or the color of your skin. It's about economic opportunity for everyone. And so you can waste your money on a Berlin Wall, but you know it's going to come down. So why bother investing on it and scaring people? Why don't you just invest in the future and start building the institutions? Mexico's already democratic. It turned democratic in the year 2000. It's only been 16 years. It's done a really good job. It's had, in the last few years, it's had some hiccups here. But the truth is, it's done a really good job of improving their country. Now, we just got to go to the next level. We got to raise that economy up so that people are, and by the way, a lot of Mexicans are not crossing the border anymore. Since 2008, that has gone down significantly. So let's call it what it is. But we still need to get Mexico's wages up higher so that there is no cross-border issues with people moving towards higher paying jobs.
Of course. We give aid to other countries. I mean, Israel, for example, we give aid to them, and they're not our neighbor. Mexico's our largest neighbor in terms of population. They're right below us, and they're our biggest neighbor. And they're – what are they? Our number two trading partner in the world? What would be wrong with giving them aid as opposed to giving someone halfway around the world aid?
That's actually true. And the thing is, the question is, will Trump be pragmatic? I don't think Trump is an ideological nut job. I think he's an opportunist and he's a pragmatic person. He doesn't have any principles. He doesn't have any ideals. He's not a crazy man in terms of, supporting, God told him to drop the bomb, so he's going to drop the bomb no matter what. That's not who he is.
No, that's his vice president.
yeah, that's true. He's Trump is just a pragmatic guy that saw a weakness in the GOP and he exploited it. And he did an amazing job of it. But is he a monster? I don't know. He looks to be a racist, but he's 70 years old. Most people at 70, a lot of them are racist, and they grew up in a racist country. So I don't know. But I do know this. He's not a crazy man. He's a pragmatic person. So I'm hoping that pragmatic side will look at the challenge and say, hey, let's do what makes sense. Let's make money for the United States. Let's make it profitable. But let's do something intelligent, something with a good plan that's going to work. Not some crazy reactionary shit like, hey, let's get a deportation force and move 15 million people out of the country in 2 weeks. That's not going to work. It's just not going to work. So why get all the hicks out there in cult land all freaking fired up over it? It's stupid. You're driving these people crazy. Don't do that, man.
I agree, man. I mean, you're getting everyone riled up for no reason. Okay, Johnny, I'm actually going to play one of your songs right now. I'm going to play Dirty Pictures because I think it's really relevant to the presidency of an election of Donald Trump. Speaking of, he's like the ultimate dirty pitcher right now. So,
let's clarify that, Fox. I mean, we're not talking about dirty pictures like, pornography. We're talking about dirty pictures, people that sales pitch in a dirty way. In other words, they con their way to a sales pitch. Instead of selling a good idea based on its features and benefits, they're actually selling a con job. That's what a dirty pitcher is.
Yep. All right, coming up now, I'm throwing on the track Dirty Pitchers by Johnny Punish and the story of Strange. Here it goes. Enjoy.
We're not alone, cause the telly's on. And we're not screwy, cause we take the right pills. We slam our conscience with a swig of ale. We clear our thoughts with a drag on our pipe. We numb our brains while they flick the heart off. Global net scum invade headline, or was it the Facebook parade? We fled the hate and war from our hearts, only to find the scanning yours. And we're not alone, cause the tellies are on. And we're not screwy, cause we take the right pills. We slam our conscience with a swing of ale. Same old story, it's a long lost tale. We keep buying from the daddy pictures, paying the man while our head is down. The media lying, people are crying, the world is dying again. Now
okay, so we're back. We're back. I have a question for you. I mean, it was a great song, by the way.
Thanks, man. I'm glad you like the vibe. It's got a lot of it's definitely a punk song, don't you think?
Oh man, it's just it's great. I mean, I love the song, dude. Dirty Pictures. It explains it. It's so relevant to the election right now because Obama didn't seem that. He made some campaign promises and he wasn't able to deliver on some of them, but it wasn't lack of trying. Trump made campaign promises, and he's already backing off of his campaign promises, and he hasn't even gone into the White House and become, like, sworn in as the real president yet, right? I mean, that's not until January 1st, and he's already backing off. Obama didn't back off. I mean, he actually tried. He didn't have enough power in as president to do some of the stuff that he wanted to do, but he tried, and he got some of it done.
Yeah, that's true. I'm actually feeling sorry for Trump right now. I mean, I'm obviously, for those of you that know me out there, I'm opposed to racism at the highest level. Bigotry, totally opposed to it. Xenophobia, opposed to it completely. But this guy looks like he's beaten. When I watch him in an interview, he looks like he's lost. Like he doesn't know, like he got into the job and he's like, I don't really want this job. Or it's kind of like he wanted it because he's a narcissist and he wanted the title for his own personal like resume when he dies or something. But he's not really good at leading men. He doesn't know what to do. He's good at making money, which is not the same as leading men. So when I look at him, he looks like a pathetic, sad figure. He looks like he's sad. Since he got elected, he hasn't been positive. He hasn't been upbeat. He hasn't been happy. It's weird. Do you notice that?
He looks like a guy that just – he wanted the job so he could say he had the job and he could brag to his friends about the job, but he doesn't really want to do the job. He just wanted to have that little check mark in his resume and say, bam, I was president of the United States once, so he can live on forever. He's a narcissist. He wants to live on forever. I don't even think he really wants to be the president. He just wants people to have it in their history books, in their school textbooks, that Donald J. Trump was president of the United States, not only a billionaire, but president of the United States. He doesn't care how he got it done, doesn't care if he even does it well or anything like that. I'm sure he doesn't want to be known as the worst president ever. Now, hey, you know, he's got some big shoes to fill if he does want to be the worst president ever, because we did have a pretty bad one not too long ago with George Bush. Now, speaking about that, I have a question for you. So do you think there's more outrage over Trump winning the election the way he did despite losing the popular vote, as opposed to when George W. Bush won in similar fashion not too long ago?
Well, that's a really great question.
Because there's a lot of protests out there, but I wonder, like, who probably has more outrage? right? Because both of them in recent history, I mean, this one just happened, and George W. Bush wasn't that long ago. So what is it, the last 16 years, there's been twice that this has happened where the popular vote doesn't really count? It doesn't matter you have more votes?
Yeah, the answer to that question is Gore barely won it, and it looks like Clinton's going to win it handily in the millions, maybe 2 million votes.
Yeah, I mean, who has 2 million friends, by the way? I mean, that's a lot of people, dude. That's a whole city more of people.
Well, in some cases, it's a state. I mean, I think Nevada might only have 2 million, or definitely South Dakota doesn't even have 2 million. I know Alaska doesn't. It's got like Sarah Palin and like 10 people there. So, you know, I don't know. It was a different time. I think the outrage was big in 2000, and then it grew when he came up with the fake Iraq war, and then it ended up in a recession. The biggest since the Great Depression in 1929. So, Bush, was really a big failure overall. But this is a little different. Trump used overt racism, xenophobia, and white nationalism to scare the shit out of certain people to get elected. And, it was an effective strategy. But in the meantime, he completely obliterated and destroyed the social contract and social fabric. That's the difference. And so I think what you're seeing is a massive amount of pushback from everybody who's not a white Christian and not living in Alabama, so to speak. So there's a lot of people like that. And they call me white, but am I white? My grandfather's from Italy. My mother's from Palestine. And my wife's Mexican. Am I white? Am I really white? I don't consider myself white at all.
Oh, it's so funny when you do look really, really white. And then you're around people, could be Trump supporters, could be non-supporters of anything, but they start, speaking and saying some racist remarks around you, and they think, oh, well, he's just one of our white friends, no big deal. And then you realize, like, you have to tell them, like, hey, I mean, just because the color of my skin is light does not mean that I agree with everything you're saying, because I'm actually not your typical Irish, Italian, English, European-looking white guy. I have Palestinian blood and I have Italian blood. I don't agree that all Muslims are bad. I don't agree that, they shouldn't be allowed to pursue the American dream in our country.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the whole thing, right? So it's, these white people, it's like the last stand. And is it going to take? No, it's not. The demographics say it's not. So where are we going with this? I think Trump needs to put a stop to it right away. If he's not really a racist, damn it, put a stop to it. And if you are a racist, then stand by it and we're going to take you down, because there's no place at the American table for racism. There's no place. There's no future. What are you trying to do? Break up the United States into two countries? Is that what you want? California already wants the hell out. They're not part of the electoral process anymore with their stupid electoral college. 40 million people and their votes don't count. Of course they're pissed off. And California is one of the most diverse states in the country. There is no future in racism. There's no future in xenophobia. There's no future in a white nation. Where are you going with this? This is nonsense. You're lying to these people. The future is not going to be white. Stop lying. The future is going to be a human race. We're a human race. We're part of the human race. And don't discount us. Don't pretend we don't exist. We're right in front of you, for God's sakes. Shame on you.
Luckily, we actually, from what we've seen so far, it does seem like Donald Trump can be pressured into backing off most of those xenophobic and racist, bigoted remarks and campaign promises that he made. So that's one fortunate thing. Now, we'll see, because we don't even know. He hasn't really gotten in there and been able to do what he wants to do. He has made some weird appointments, and it's looking good and bad. It's weird, because he seems to be backing off a lot of campaign promises, but then the people he seems to be appointing are just like way out there way out there even for him.
Well, let's go over that real quick. He just appointed Chris Kobach, the author of the SB 1070's The Papers Law in Arizona. I mean, the guy's clearly a freaking white nationalist racist jerk off. So you know where that's going with immigration. And then he hires Steve Bannon, a white nationalist racist jerk off from Breitbart. I mean, it's unprecedented. It's unfreaking precedented. Set my hair on fire, man. Are you kidding me or what? That's irresponsible. That's irresponsible. You're the president of the United States. You're not this idiot Trump is out there talking about, hey, I just got 100,000 Twitter followers. Dude, what are you talking about? You're the president of the United States. You have 350 million followers. The Americans are with you. You don't need followers. Just call the media. We're following you every moment of your life now. What are you talking about? And the world follows you. You don't need a Twitter account, you jerk. Wake the hell up. He's in a la-la land. He doesn't know what he's talking about. It's crazy, man. It's freaking crazy.
We're living in what was that movie? We got President Camacho. What was that
Tell
movie?
Me about
Idiocracy.
It.
I mean that literally just happened right now. It just happened. Now shifting gears here, I got a question for you. So what are your thoughts on the legalization of cannabis in California and your home state, Nevada, where you went to college?
Right. Well, the trend, it's good because the trend is moving in that direction. It's one of those things that, why stop it? I mean, the trend's going that way. Anybody who gets in the way of legalization of marijuana is just wasting everybody's time. The reason why is because it's ridiculous. You know, we need to make, if someone's got an addiction issue, we need to make that a medical issue, not a prison issue. It's just common sense. And if someone wants to smoke weed on their own or whatever, hey, man, it's a free country. Do what you want. It's just that simple. That's my feeling about it. I voted for it in Nevada. It obviously passed. I'm thrilled about it.
I mean, it seems like we're living in a Woody Allen film right now, right? I mean, you got a reality TV star that just became president, and then you got cannabis being legalized in the most populous state in America and Las Vegas. I mean, Las Vegas is a pretty big deal as well because now whenever anybody over 21 wants to go and gamble and do the whole American fun thing in Las Vegas, cannabis is legal. I wonder if it's going to be legal to do it inside of the hotels or if they're going to have certain smoking areas. There's all kinds of legal questions that are going to be happening, but it's great, right? I mean, it's great that they're finally – you know, just giving in to the science and accepting that it's not the devil's lettuce. It's, you know, it's something that a lot of Americans enjoy to do and they should be able to pursue their own happiness.
Well, I personally don't smoke weed, but I advocate for a legalization because I believe that everybody has the right to smoke weed. I believe in small government. You know, you can say you can even call me a Republican in that sense, or a libertarian if you want. Call me whatever you want. I don't like labels, but I like small government. I don't believe government should get involved in my personal life, whether I choose to smoke weed or get an abortion or anything else. Stay the fuck out of my life.
I totally agree.
Go defend the country, run the economy, and get the hell out of my personal life. It's just that simple. Leave me a freaking alone, or I'm going to protest your ass. So that's it. So as far as I'm concerned is, hey, adults can do what they want. You want to smoke weed? Do it. You want to smoke weed and drive a car and put people at risk? You should go to jail. Because once you hit the road, you know, you're interacting with other people and you're putting other people at risk. That's not cool. So there are certain responsibilities that go along with it. But as long as you're responsible and you want to have a drink, you want to smoke weed, you want to have, you know, crazy, weird sex in your house, do it on your own time, bro. As far as I'm concerned, it's cool.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. So this is probably the last question I have for you, Mr. Punish. So what are your thoughts on self-driving cars? Do you think it could mean the end of DUIs and traffic tickets? Do you think it will be a suppressed technology since massive amount of money is made from these traffic tickets? What do you think the government's going to do in the next coming years? Because, yeah, we got Trump as the president. We got a lot of things, but that seems to be something that I could see in the next, you know, 3 to 4 years that's going to become a reality, self-driving cars. And with that, people aren't talking about it, but there's going to be a lot less DUIs. Cannabis is becoming legal. So there's going to be people who are going to be drinking and smoking and their cars are going to be able to drive themselves home. And I mean, I just wonder, there's going to be less traffic tickets. There's going to be a lot less of these types of things. And the government banks on these things. They bank on being able to collect money off of traffic tickets, speeding, running stop signs, all that kind of stuff. Do you think they're going to try and suppress it like they did the electric vehicle, the EV, which is barely just now kind of taking off again?
Okay, the answer to that question is, you know, they can try. States can try. Cities can try to suppress it if they want to. But the trend of globalization is unstoppable. In other words, if these people that are developing these technologies run into a roadblock at some city or at some state, just move to another city or another state. And if the country gets in the way, they'll move it to another country. But the evolution is going to happen. Globalization is already happening. You can't put it back in the bag. It's out there. So if I'm Elon Musk and I'm developing, or Google, I'm developing this car, and the state of California wants to block it, no problem. I'll go to China. I'll go to Japan. I'll go to Russia. I'll go to Mexico. I'll make a deal with some government that's interested in doing it and prove to the general public and the world through media, through internet access, that it's working. And that kind of pressure is going to weigh down heavily on that repressive government that's trying to stop progress. So, yeah, it's unstoppable. The future is coming, folks. Nothing you can do is going to stop it. You can't build a wall and you can't nerf the world. We're right here. The world is connecting. It doesn't matter if Trump's president or not. Nothing will stop the future. You can't put a Band-Aid on it, so forget it. You're better off embracing it, meeting the challenges, and stop being so damn afraid of the future. Just get out there and kick some ass, man.
Right? I mean, the fact that Google and Mercedes-Benz are investing in these technologies, and, I mean, how do you even suppress a technology that is that cool? I mean, self-driving cars, and if you're a mother that is worried about your children drinking and driving or any kind of thing like that, and you're worried about all that, you should be 100% for this kind of technology and researching it and getting it out there safely. Now, I know there's a lot of question marks about it, but, man, you got to admit, if a car could drive itself and do it properly and be able to do it without causing any harm, I mean, DUIs are a thing of the past, which is a big deal. And that was a huge deal when trying to legalize cannabis. That's the whole reason why I bring it up, is because cannabis was just made legal in these two states. I think also Massachusetts just legalized it as well. And that's the biggest hurdle that cannabis now has to jump over, because many people are worried about there being an increase in DUI. And I think that this kind of technology could be the kind of technology that's actually going to get rid of that fear. So then it's just going to become, whether do you want to infringe on people's personal freedoms? Because, hey, my car drives itself. I just turned it on auto mode. I could be, lighting up right in front of a cop, no problem. It sounds extreme. It sounds crazy, but that's the future, right? I mean, you put it on autopilot, it's on autopilot.
It's going to be safer, less car accidents, less deaths. It's an all-around net positive for everybody. The future is calling, folks. Just answer the phone. Just answer the phone or the smartphone or the teleprompter or whatever the hell you're using to answer. Answer the damn phone.
That sounds like a new song, right? The future is calling.
You got it. All right, man. Are we done for today?
Yeah, I think we're done for today. Thank you to all our listeners. I hope you enjoy this podcast.
Got it. Hey, Fox, congratulations on your new WTF show. It's awesome. WTF rocks the house. Peace out, y'all.
Yep, WTF, what the fuck. See you later, Johnny Punish. Peace.